ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। So I take the blessings of all the Vaishnavas assembled here to be able to speak a few words on the glories of Prahlad Maharaj and Narasingha Bhagavan. So Narasingha Dev is very, very important for all the devotees of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada established prayers of Narasingha Bhagavan in all these crown temples all over the world. 6 times in a day, because we have 6 offerings and 6 aartis, and after every aarti we sing Narasingha prayers. Because he knew that to protect our spiritual lives, to protect the sanctity of our consciousness, to protect us from all the onslaughts of Maya, we require the blessings of Narasingha Dev. Every moment all of us are attacked by the onslaught of Maya. From front, from behind, from above, from below, from sides, from everywhere we are constantly being attacked while we are living in this conditioned state in the material world. So our condition is very, in one sense, very hopeless, because we are very tiny, insignificant, we have no power to stand on our own. In such conditions, when we bow down to Lord Narasingha Dev and pray for his mercy, he is such a wonderful and unique Lord that he is instantly available for us in various known and unknown and direct and indirect ways to protect us. Many of us feel that Narasingha Dev's presence is only for us to protect us from accidents and illnesses and so many material difficulties. It is so, definitely he has all the power to protect us from that also. But we should understand that his presence in our lives is much more important transcendentally to protect our consciousness. Because in contaminated consciousness, we cannot understand Krishna, Krishna cannot approach Krishna, cannot effectively from heartfelt way take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. So we need to protect our consciousness from getting contaminated from Maya. So Narasingha Bhagavan is very, very merciful. He's been protecting us all the while from the attacks of the people who are not Krishna's devotees. We have seen in our temple also how so many times we have been attacked, and there are so many court cases, but simply by the mercy of Krishna in the form of Narasingha Dev, he has protected us, and today we have a very wonderful temple here, expanding day by day, month by month, year by year. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was asking questions to Narad Muni, that how is that Shishupal got killed by Krishna? How is Krishna appearing to be impartial to non-devotees and partial to devotees? So to explain this, Narad Muni, actually Shukadeva Maharaj is explaining to Parikshit Maharaj the discussion between Yudhishthira Maharaj and Narad Muni. And Narad Muni explains that Shishupal and his cousin brother Dantavakra were the incarnation of Jay and Vijay. They were the guards at the doors of Vaikuntha. And when the 4 Kumaras in their small bodies of 4-year-old in a naked condition wanted to enter the last gate of Vaikuntha, they were stopped by Jay and Vijay. And the Kumaras were very disturbed, and they cursed Jay and Vijay to become demons 3 times in the material world. So first time in the womb of Diti by Kashyapa Muni, 2 sons were born, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. They were slain by Krishna in the form of Varaha and Narasingha. Second time they came in the family of Vishrava as Ravana and Kumbhakarna. They were slain by Ramchandra, Lord Ramchandra. And third time they came as cousin brothers, Sishupala and Dantavagra. This Krishna killed them. So this is how he begins. And then in the process of describing the wonderful qualities of Prahlad, Yudhishthira Maharaj asks Narad Muni, how is that in Prahlad had so many wonderful, divine, transcendental, sublime qualities of a Vaishnava? How still his father wanted to kill him? And then Narad Muni describes in great detail the wonderful pastime of the appearance of Narasingadev. So we'll try to, time is very short, this is a wonderful, elongated, and a wonderful pastime. We'll try to condense it in a nice way. So when Hiranyaksha was born, Varaha Dev appeared, Lord Vishnu appeared in a very wonderful boar form, and in the space they had a very wonderful fight, and finally Hiranyaksha was killed by Lord Varaha. And that created great lamentation in the family of the demons, especially Hiranyakashipu, his brother, and the nephews, that is his nephews, sons of Hiranyaksha and the wives of Hiranyaksha. Hiranyakashipu was very, very angry. He felt that Vishnu has been proclaimed as impartial to everybody, is equal to all, but this time he has been partial to devotees, the demigods, and impartial to demons. So I defy his authority. I don't care for his position. I will kill him and then I will show to the world that I am so powerful. So he went to his relatives and he preached them. He consoled them. Prabhupada explains that even demons, the worst of all demons, were so shastric and they are so much profound, in-depth Vedic knowledge. They knew who is Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead. They knew what is soul, what is the difference between body and the soul, and what is the goal of life. Everything they knew. But still it is example, by the example of Hiranyakashipu, we can understand that even after you know all the ocean of Vedic knowledge, if you do not have devotion to the feet, lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, all the knowledge is useless. See, he had all this knowledge, and with that knowledge only he consoled the aggrieving relatives of Hiranyaksha. He told them the body is temporary, the soul is eternal. Today we come together and tomorrow we disperse. So why lament for this body? He tells them two stories. One of the Kulinga birds and one of the death of King Suyajna. I will not go in details of that. How they died, and then the relatives were crying. Yamaraj came as a small boy in a sweet voice. He preached them and he convinced them not to cry because the body is there. The body is there, and if his body, then he is there. Why we are crying? And if his soul, then he is gone. Then what is there to cry? Soul is eternal. Then he told the story of Kulinga birds. How we are lamenting for the dead body, but death is awaiting for us also. Death is waiting for us to capture us at the opportune moment. So why cry and waste our precious time in crying for that thing which is not worthy of grief? So somehow he consoled, and he also assured them, I will kill Lord Vishnu, our enemy, who is impartial now to the demons. And immediately he ordered, first of all he went after that to Mandarachal, Mandara mountain, and started his great tapasya. It is explained in scriptures that his tapasya was unmatchable. Nobody could match it. Even great devotees have not been able to perform such tapasya. He was standing with hands raised, pointing towards the sky, upright, straight, standing on the big toes, only on the toes, on the ground. Body stretched upwards, and he was not moving at all. He was not taking any water, any food, any sleep, any break, anything. And such a way, meditating on the Supreme Personality, actually he was aiming at Brahmaji. He stood there for 100 celestial years. And he was so determined that ants ate up his body. All the morsels of flesh, every atom of the flesh on his body, on his bones, were completely eaten up by ants. And even that pain of being devoured by the ants couldn't disturb his determination. His determination was so powerful to achieve his goal, but it was material. It was not a proper motivation with which he performed the tapasya. That's why his tapasya is counted in the mode of ignorance, not like the sadhus who performed, not like Dhruv Maharaj, not like other sages who performed tapasya. So, at the later part of his tapasya, his body was consumed by ant hill. The ants grew in the form of hill and it consumed him actually. And his power of determination was so strong that simply by that power he sustained his atma in the skeleton of bones, which is very, very difficult. But still he managed that. And because of this severe power of austerities, flames of fire emerged from his skull towards the upper direction. And they were so powerful flames that they were, the heat of those flames were also disturbing the demigods. Indra and all the demigods under his leadership, they were completely pained. They could not bear the heat of these flames. In fact, their all faces became black by the smoke of these flames. And they were in totally aggrieved condition. With those smoky faces, they went to Brahmaji. And they said, Brahmaji, our life has become miserable. Very soon we will lose all our positions. He will conquer us by the dint of his tapasya. And you know what is his plan? We know his plan. If his tapasya continues, then his plan is to conquer you and take your position as Brahma. And why he wants to do that? Because he has a plan to reverse the law of karma. Now when the pious activities are being performed, they get rewarded. And when the sinful activities are performed, they get punished severely. He wants to change. He wants to make the rule by becoming Brahma that if anybody performs sinful activities, he will be rewarded heavenly pleasures. And those who perform tapasya, those who perform religious activities, those who perform wonderful good activities, pious activities, they will go to hell to suffer. That was his subtle plan. And knowing this plan, they informed Brahma, if you don't intervene now, very soon this will happen. So Brahmaji understood. And he went down. He appeared. He sat on his swan and went down. And for some time he could not see Hiranyakashipu. Because nowhere he was to be seen. Then he understood that there were flames burning the upper locus of demigods. So he saw an ant hill from which the flames were coming up. So he understood there is Hiranyakashipu. So looking at Lord Brahma, Hiranyakashipu was very pleased. And Lord Brahma also got pleased temporarily. It is explained. Temporarily he got pleased by the tapasya that Hiranyakashipu performed for his pleasure to attract his attention. And he removed some transcendental, powerful spiritual waters from his kamandalu and threw with great love towards Hiranyakashipu. And immediately his skeleton-like body of bones, maintaining the atma in that, became lustrous. It became effulgent. It became very strong. It became very powerful. And it received powers to bear hundreds of thunderbolts of Indra. That means no thunderbolt or many thunderbolts together could not even harm. He had the power to bear that also. His face became very effulgent. He became very happy and jubilant after receiving this strength, physical strength. And he offered prostrated dandavats to Lord Brahmaji. And Lord Brahmaji said, what is it that you want? Please tell me. I want to give you benedictions. So he said, my Lord, he first addresses him as Supreme Personality of Godhead and offers a lot of prayers in gratefulness. It is explained that with choked voice and tears in eyes of gratefulness, he offered prayers as Supreme Personality of Godhead to Lord Brahma. And then he said, make me immortal. Let me not be killed by any creature created by you. First of all, any living or non-living entity. And then any living entity created by you, may it be demigods, may it be snakes from Patal Loka, may it be demons, may it be animal, may it be man. No living entity created by you should kill me. Because he knew that Varahadev came as animal and he killed his brother. So he knew Vishnu's powers. So he wanted to protect himself, you know, like it was wanted to take vaccines from all directions. He knew that I can die natural death. So he said, I should not be dying in the house or out of the house. Because somebody who is invalid, old, may just die in the house or may die in the field anywhere. I should not die in the sky, on the ground or in the water. I should not die in the daytime or in the nighttime. I should not die by any astra created by you or any shastra. Any weapons that is created by you in your creation should not kill me. So all kinds of vaccines he took. whatever possible ways of killing, he asked for as a boon. And Lord Brahma heard all this big list, well thought, with all the intelligence and all the demonic mentality, he proposed the application. And Brahma said, Tathastu. But before that he said, this kind of benediction that you are asking is very, very difficult to attain. Nobody in the history of my creation has asked for these boons, and not anybody has also received such kind of boons. But I will still grant those benediction to you. Tathastu. And what happens? If he had pure motivations, then after receiving all these boons, he would have become very peaceful, very happy, very satisfied. He would have ruled the whole kingdom of the creation of Lord Brahma and made all subjects happy, made all the activities desired by people to be performed very nicely. But no, immediately after getting the powers, the motivations were manifest. It was very clear in the beginning also, even after receiving benedictions. What happened? He ordered everybody, now I am the king, I am the supreme, my name has to be chanted. All religious activities should be stopped. All goshalas should be killed, should be destroyed. All the agricultural fields, all the Brahmins, all the saintly people, all the yagyashalas, everything that is auspicious, trees, everything should be destroyed. And he said, by doing this, the demigods will become weak, because they receive offerings from the sages and they become powerful and they gain their powers. By this they will become very weak. I will destroy them. I will conquer over their kingdom. And then gradually I will conquer all the entire creation. So all his demons went down. They were very ferocious, powerful demons, empowered by Hiranyakashipu's order. And they went and destroyed everything whatever ordered by him. Then he conquered all the demigods. They just fled away. They just couldn't stand in front of his prowess. He was so powerful, so effulgent, and so strong and so much empowered by the boons of Brahma and by his own dint of his own power, that every day no demigods would stand in front of him. They were just fleeing away out of great fear. And then he conquered all their lokas except for Lord Brahma's loka, Brahma loka, Vaikuntha and Lord Shiva's Kailash loka. He conquered everything. And then he became so powerful, so puffed up, that he thought that nobody else can do any harm to him. His false ego grew so much that it knew no bounds. And then all the works of demigods, they were done by force by him. It is explained that the earth, what the earth would do, it requires plowing and then watering and putting the bijas and everything. But the earth was giving all the crops without even being plowed by anybody. So just ready-made crops. Vayu was flowing as per the desire of Hiranyakashipu. The Gandharvas were dancing for him. They were usually dancing for all the demigods and for their pleasure. They started dancing for him. Then it is explained that the rivers and the oceans came running forward with the jewels in them. Generally what happens is that rivers and oceans create nice jewels. But a man has to go inside and find them out and then yield them. Like Arjuna and Pandavas did in Digvijaya. But here the oceans and rivers were coming personified with hands and fulls of jewels for the pleasure of Hiranyakashipu. Like that, without the help of demigods, just by the power of force he was controlling them like slaves. And he would call them and chastise them and harsh words, he would fire at them just to humiliate them. He would raise his eyebrows and the demigods would tremble and come running to serve him. As menial servants, he would purposely make them serve menially. Do all kinds of lowly, menial things, just to execute his ego, his pride over them, just to execute his power of ruling over everything that is available in the world. So then, atrocities of demigods, the demons, they created a lot of chaos in the universe. And then again, the demigods went to Lord Vishnu. And they explained that their life is miserable. They are all luster, power, everything is gone. So Lord Vishnu told them the universal message. Even in this condition, he said, become my devotee. All of you become my devotees. Chant my holy name. Hear my pastimes. Perform bhakti. And then I will come at suitable time to destroy this Hiranyakashipu. So this is a wonderful message. Lord, in this whole pastime only, you will find 3-4 times Lord Vishnu telling the same thing to different people. You are here, chant my name, you hear my pastimes, perform bhakti to me, you do all devotional service to my lotus feet and sing my glories, like that. So then he tells, when he will disturb his own son, my own devotee Prahlad, at that time I will come and do the needful. So Prahladji was that time studying under a small boy, very beautiful boy. His qualities have been explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, that he was determined, he was very highly cultured in mannerism. He was determined to understand in-depth understanding of the devotional service, of the absolute, supreme, absolute truth. Constantly was determined at that. He was self-controlled, his mind and senses were fully controlled. He was kind to all, he was friendly to all living beings. He would treat them as a friend. He was very, very respectful. This is one of the most important things to note down. Although born in a demoniac family, he was very respectful to seniors, he would worship them. To friends, he was very friendly and always take care of them. Basically, he was a servant. His attitude was servantly. And to all those other conditioned living entities like animals and other living entities, he would be very, very merciful to them, very befriending to all of them. And although he was son of Hiranyakashipu, like king, not ordinary king, but conquered everybody, almost everything. He had all the opulences, he was very, very beautiful. He had all the education, he had all knowledge, he had all intelligence, all kinds of opulences he had. Still he had no false pride. Hiranyakashipu, he had all those things and he had all kinds of things to enjoy. He was always intoxicated, but he was never satisfied because his mind and his senses were uncontrolled. And exactly against Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad was always self-controlled. Mind, senses were completely under control. He was always satisfied. Always absorbed. This is one of the most wonderful, significant quality of Prahlad, was always absorbed in remembering the Lord. Worshipping the Lord's lotus feet at his heart. Always remembering him in all conditions of life. So, great sages and rishis also keep glorifying the wonderful qualities of Prahlad. And then, after teaching him in Gurukula, the seminal sons of Shukracharya, Shand and Amarka, to get the appreciation from the king, they bring Prahlad to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu had four sons. But Prahlad was the one amongst the four sons, very prominent in his qualities and his personality, and very, very dear to Hiranyakashipu. So when he was brought to Hiranyakashipu, when the moment he saw him, his heart became melted completely with love for Prahlad. He took him with great love in his lap, caressed him, kissed him, embraced him again and again with his strong arms. He smelled his hair and kissed on his forehead and said, "My child, what have you learned?" So he was expecting the science taught by Shanda Amarka. What is the difference between wanted people and unwanted people? How to make friends, how to find make enemies, how to make friends and exploit everybody, how to destroy those people who we don't want, who are not favorable to our purposes of material motivations. All that was taught by Shanda Amarka, so he was expecting that my son will give PhD realizations about this subject. But he said, "Tat sadhu manye suravarya dehinam." He said that all the householders who are attached to materialistic life, they should go to forest. They should go to forest of Vrindavan to practice Krishna consciousness. But that is the only hope for all those householders who are attached to materialistic sense gratificatory lives. So that he was like surprised. He took a moment and then he laughed loudly. He said, "My enemies have contaminated the mind of my delicate child Prahlad." So he first questioned, "What have you taught them?" He said, "We never taught them anything like this." But anyways, take him back to the Shala again, Gurukul, and teach him again. So next time, again they teach him nicely. And Prahlad also very humbly, very gently, respectfully towards the teacher, although he knew that they are not teaching the right science. But still very respectfully he said, "Actually I don't believe in the science that you are teaching me of differentiating between friends and enemies, exploiting people, materialistic profits, and making wars and conquering people and ruling over them. All these things I don't believe. I believe in making friendship to all, because Supreme Lord is everywhere, in everybody's heart. They are all equal. They are all our brothers and sisters." But still, he learned. Very respectfully sat in the class again, learned everything. This time, again they wanted to prove that they have been teaching him very nice subjects. So they went again. But this time they went to Mother Kayadu. They brought him to Mother Kayadu. She decorated him with nice ornaments and made him very beautifully appearing. And then they took him to Prahlad. Again, by looking at Prahlad, because Prahlad was a transcendental personality. Even a demon like Hiranyakashipu, of course he was his father, he was his beloved child, but still he had the aura, the vibrations of a pure devotee which pleased the heart of Hiranyakashipu. Again he took him in his lap, caressed him, I embraced him again and with great love, his heart melted, tears came from his eyes, and he asked, "My child, what did you learn this time in the classes, Gurukula of Sunday Namarka?" So long series of shlokas, very beautiful shlokas, very, very pleasing to devotees, very, very painful to the heart of Hiranyakashipu. Such prayers he offers. Before that, okay, he said, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam. He said, one who worships Lord Vishnu by the process of 9 devotional services, it is very easy for him to understand Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is very easy for him to understand how to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. It is very easy for him to attract the attention of Supreme Personality of Godhead and receive his mercy. So he was getting shocked. He said, who has taught all this thing to you? He shouts at the Chandanamarka, I will punish you. Chandanamarka started trembling. He said, my lord, please, we are Brahmins. We don't tell lies to you. We have not taught all these things to you. And plus, by the way, we are Brahmins, so you should not do any aparad to us. It is not good for you. They were trying to protect themselves. Again, he looked at Prahlad. They were very fearful, begging for mercy and forgiveness. Then he says, people who are having uncontrolled senses and mind, like yourself, my father, they are addicted to material life and they keep on chewing the same things in the world which is being chewed by people again and again and again. Punas punas charvita charvitanam, charvitanam. That means whatever has been enjoyed and given up and renounced by so many sages in the material world, and also those who are attached to sense gratification, they have also enjoyed and they have thrown away the remnants, they keep on chewing those things again and again and again. It is explained that the body is made of Panchamahabhutas. Our bodies has various combinations of these Panchamahabhutas. We have maybe thousands of people sitting over here, 2000 people are sitting over here, maybe. And there are 2000 different bodies appearing totally differently, having different parents and different origins, different sources, different villages, different eating habits. But ultimately we are actually, our bodies are all combinations of 5 different elements, that is called Panchamahabhutas. And in various bodies, we have enjoyed this Panchamahabhutas again and again and again and in many, 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 many lifetimes. And the same Panchamahabhutas which have been enjoyed, chewed and sucked by all of us, again are recycled. And new bodies are formed. So the 7 of father and womb of mother. And again new bodies are produced, again those Panchamahabhutas we enjoy. And Prahlad Maharaj is saying that this is actually Uchishta. Of all, first they are Uchishta of devotees. And second, they are Uchishta of all the sinful people also, because they also enjoy, and then they seek another combination of Panchamahabhutas. So we are just enjoying Uchishta of all the enjoyments that have already been taken place by many, many people. Then he says, Nate vidum swartha gatim Vishnu. He says, as a blind man following another blind man, these men undergo repeated cycles of birth and death, because one blind man who is in materialistic attitude and consciousness leads another one, and they get tied up in the ropes of birth and death, again take birth, and again the cycle goes on taking place. They must bathe, that means these people who are sinful and who are materialistic, he says, they must bathe in the dust of the lotus feet of all the Vaishnavas. That is the only hope for them to develop affection and attraction for the lotus feet of the Lord and to receive favors from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada and Radhana Swami Maharaj, our Gurudev, repeatedly explain us that how it is important. We do not know Sri Krishna, we do not know Supreme Personality of Godhead in our conditioned state of life. But the devotees of Sri Krishna, who are pure devotees, who are transcendental, who are desireless, who are free from all material desires, whose life is only an embodiment of loving devotional service to Sri Krishna, when we take shelter of them and serve them, the bathing in the dust of lotus feet means what? Accepting their dust of lotus feet on their body, our body and our head means what? To serve them. When we accept them as our masters and serve them, then Lord Sri Krishna becomes very, very pleased. In one Purana, Lord Sri Krishna says, those who claim to be my devotees are not my devotees. Those who claim that they are devotees of my devotees, they are my devotees actually. Even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also would identify people. Who are you? He said, I am a devotee of Krishna. Then he would say, okay, you come tomorrow. I don't have much time. And somebody would say, okay, I am a devotee, I am a servant of the servant of one, of a devotee of Krishna. Das, Anu, Das, Anu, Das. Then he would say, okay, how can I serve you? All my time is available to you. Please come, whatever I can do for you. You would identify the caliber of a devotee by this acid test. So Prahlad Maharaj is also telling the same thing here, that to get freed from material contamination, there is only one hope, that we should take shelter of Vaishnavas and serve them. And what is the goal of the service? Is to please them. Not just serve them the way we want or the way we think it is proper, but the way we serve, it should please the hearts of the Vaishnavas. Then Hiranyakashipu was hearing shlokas after shlokas, but they are not very pleasing to his heart. He was boiling, and he shouted ultimately, kill him, kill him. I must kill this child. As the body develops a contamination in one of these parts, then a surgical operation must be performed. Otherwise, the disease will spread to all the body and destroy the whole body. So if I allow this Prahlad, although he is my dearmost son, he is very loving, I love him very much. But I know now by the intelligence, my understanding of my intelligence, that if I don't kill him now, he will be the cause of destruction of my all demoniac race. So he orders his demons, who are very ferocious, who are very fearful looking, who are very monstrous, big and huge, very powerful. He orders them, take him away right now and kill him by all possible means. He gave them free license that you kill him by whatever means he is killed, try and kill him. You can imagine 5-year-old child having delicate body, had no strength like the Rakshasas, monstrous, fearful, powerful. They just dragged him mercilessly. They took him away and then they started harassing him. And they were not quietly harassing, they were shouting also, kill him, crush him, destroy him, whatever they were doing. They first lifted tridents and they started stabbing him. But surprisingly enough, no tridents could stab him actually. Then they took him under elephants, mad elephants, to trample him on his chest. But the elephants, the Paramatma in the heart of the elements, elephants, made them feel great love towards Prahlad. So instead of crushing him on the chest, they lifted him and put him on their heads. This is the mercy of the Lord. Then ocean, they took him to the ocean and threw him under the ocean and put a big mountain over him. Lord Vishnu came, tilted the mountain, removed him from under the ocean, under the mountain, and released him. And it is explained that this pastime of putting him under the water, under the mountain, took place in Singhachalam, the ocean in Singhachalam. Then they put him with Holika. The Holika is a, was a sister of Hiranyakashipu, and she had a boon that for the Vidhayak Karan, that means for the welfare purposes, if she is in fire, she will not get burnt. But they tried to use that boon of Brahma for burning Prahlad Maharaj. So she took him in her lap and she went into fire, thinking that I will not get burnt and Prahlad will be burnt to ashes. A long time the fire was blazing and blazing and blazing, and finally instead of burning Prahlad, it burned Holika only. And Holika was shouting, how it is happening, how it is happening. Brahma said, the boon was given to you not to burn the devotees, but the boon was given to you to save the purpose of religion, but you are misused, so it has to be resulting in this particular way. Then he was thrown out of the mountain. Lord Vishnu came and nicely caught him like a cotton wool. He fell in the cotton wool, soft beds in the hands of Vishnu, and he was saved from after throwing from the big mountain cliffs. Then he was thrown into a pit of deadly, poisonous, ferocious, hissing snakes, and they were supposed to bite him and poison him and he will die. But again the Paramatma in the hearts of the snakes did not make them bite at all. They started crawling nicely on his feet and his body and did not bite him. And then they stoned him and they starved him. They did not give him water and food. They subjected him to heat and cold, and they also poisoned him. All kinds of methods of killing were tried with Prahlad. No devotee can claim that they have got such kind of miseries in life. Whenever miseries should come in our life, we should ask, am I suffering as much as Prahlad? We sometimes make big hue and cry about our sufferings in life because they are big for us. But when we imagine the calamities Prahlad went, he never said, oh, heat is coming, oh, stones are coming, oh, they are throwing me out of mountain. All the while, whenever all this kind of atrocities were performed towards him, he was not even making one hue and cry. He was peacefully absorbed in deeply meditating and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. That was his power. How he was able to remember the Lord? Out of his humility. He thought, I am Asura, I have no qualities. But I am trying to worship Lord Sri Krishna, Lord Vishnu. I am trying to dedicate myself to the foot of Lord Vishnu, feet of Lord Vishnu. And in that utter humility, he was remembering the Supreme Lord. And because of remembrance, the Lord was obliged to protect him every now and then. Whatever ways and means they tried to kill him, again and again Lord Vishnu came and protected him in a very wonderful manner. He remained fearlessly chanting the holy names of Lord in full absorption. And when this happened, the news was coming. He was tried like this, he was saved. This was done, he was still saved. There they could not stab him, they could not poison him, they could not kill him by heat and cold. So many things, news was coming one by one. And that time, the so-called fearless Hiranyakashipu actually felt fear in the heart. He has such powers, such mystic siddhis in with him that he cannot be killed by my asuras, by my power, my empowerment. I must kill him. And he actually became morose. He actually became depressed. He started looking to the ground. He lost all the luster. He became very powerless. He was feeling he has more power than me. I have power to rule over all the world, all the living beings created by Brahma. And this one living entity is denying the power of mine to rule over him. That time Chandamarkha came to him. They saw his depressed condition. He said, my dear Lord, Hiranyakashipu, do not worry. He is a small child. He is a 5-year-old sweet child. What harm he can do to you? Don't worry, we will take him back again to the school. And again we will teach him, get him nicely trained and bring back to you. Now every time they would bring him back to, something new would happen. This time what happened? They taught him nicely, but he found out there is a break in between, recess. And the recess he would call all his, because Gurukul means he had all his uncles, brothers, his brothers and other demons, cousin brothers, children, everybody was all family members. They all came together. And he said, why are you wasting your time? Life is very precious. Don't think that you are children and you are time to play. Your life is 10 years and the life are going by. First bewilderment, we don't know where we are, man, woman, what's happening to our body, hunger, thirst and blood and urine and stool is coming out. Don't know what's happening, total bewilderment. In the next 10 years, in the efforts of understanding things, we want to enjoy those things, sense gratification, playful way. Then next 20 years goes in the actual lusty enjoyments, or bodily enjoyments. And then old age comes and then all the body joints and diseases, organs are in pain. And we are suffering, wondering what's happening to this so-called enjoyable body. And death comes, attacks us again to bring us back in the suffering material body. So don't waste your valuable time. Your life is meant to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, understand what we are and dedicate our lives in His service and to attract His favor and go back to Godhead. Don't waste your time. So they were actually bewildered because Chandamarkha, what they are teaching, the subject matter and the purpose is totally different. And what he is talking is totally different. They are confused actually. But he, by the power of his pure devotion, convinced them that worshipping Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is the only purpose of life and that is what we are supposed to do, although we are sons of demons. They also had the dilemma, okay, how we should do all these things. We are from different race. We are supposed to actually, Vishnu is our enemy. Demigods are our enemies and they have been destroying us again and again. We should fight with them. They were being cultivated like that. But they were convinced. And what happened in the end? They all started performing kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Chandamarkha came at the end of the recess and they saw everybody is dancing. Absorbed, fully absorbed. He was mad actually. They were mad. They couldn't believe that this boy can do so much harm. They actually chastised him severely, shouted at him. And they dragged him and brought him to Hiranyakashipu. And they said, this child is a useless child. He is the source of destruction to all the Rakshasa race. He will become very soon the cause of destruction of all the Rakshasa race. And we are now frustrated with this boy. We thought we'll do something for you. We'll try to train him other way. But my Lord Hiranyakashipu, take him and do whatever you want with him. Now we are helpless. And they started using bad words for him. And at this time, Hiranyakashipu was very, very angry. Then, I did not tell you the teachings of Lord Prahlad Maharaj to the boys. One of the teachings I would like to tell you, very important, which he was telling in the Rishis, was that people who are having material motives in their lives, they simply look at the objects of the senses to enjoy them, and in the process they gather relationships like wife and children and in-laws and this and that and grandchildren, and big families created, and to just satisfy them, they earn money because they need money to maintain these sources of rent gratification. So for these people, money is sweeter than honey. This is what he maintained. This is so much true about us. Because he's, of course, not talking about devotees. He's talking about those grihamedis who are blinded by the modes of material nature, who are blinded by the forces of material desires for the enjoyment of senses and mind. He's talking about those. So those people, they will give up their wonderful, valuable human life, but they will not like to lose one paisa which they have amassed to enjoy sense gratification with their family members. So this is the zest of the teaching, what he did. And then he was brought to Prahlad. In the meantime, the demon's sons were wondering how he received all this knowledge, from where he got all this knowledge. So he explains, I'll tell you in brief, that when Hiranyakashipu goes to the forest to perform tapasya, the demigods come down and conquer everybody. They kill the demons, they destroy the demons, and they become victorious. And they take also the wife of Kayadu away, knowing that she was pregnant with the semen of Hiranyakashipu. So they knew the seed of Hiranyakashipu in the form of a demon is in the womb of Kayadu. So we'll take her and arrest her and capture her and keep her till the child is delivered. After the child is delivered, we will kill the child. And when they were taking Kayadu away, a pregnant demon lady, queen, Narad Muni stops them and tells them, you cannot kill this child because he is a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. You will not be able to kill him. He is the emblem of devotion. So please let them come to my ashram. And then he gives shelter to Kayadhu in his ashram and then preaches her the science of bhakti. And at the same time, when he was preaching her, the seed that the Prahlad Maharaj in the womb hears all the Bhagavatam teachings from Narad Muni. And thus Narad Muni becomes his guru. And in the womb of his mother only, he takes complete shelter as a disciple, as a lotus feet of Narad Muni. And by the process of that, he receives all the knowledge, he becomes fully realized when he comes out in the family of demons. Still he is a pure devotee of Lord. So this is the contrast. The power of bhakti is so strong that when one acquires it, even if he is living in the middle of completely averse mentalities, completely against consciousness or completely against people or the activities being performed exactly opposite to the purpose of the personality, still the person can maintain his bhakti. Another way of understanding is that there is no material impediment to pure bhakti. If one is performing pure devotional service, no material impediment, bodily, mental, physical, intellectual, or circumstantial, or from the demigods, for whatever means, nothing can stop the growth of pure devotional service. And that was true in case of Prahlad. Although he was born very much as an infant in the middle of ghastly demons, as a father was a completely anti-Krishna conscious, completely inimical, envious personality towards Supreme Lord, still he was able to maintain his bhakti because he was determined, he was humble, he had taken shelter at the feet of Gurudev, and he was following all the processes very, very sincerely. So message for all of us from the life of Prahlad is that even if you are born of low caste, even if you are born ugly, born in a poor family, born in an uneducated condition, born in the demoniac situations, or situations which are not favorable to devotional service, still if we are determined, if we humbly take shelter of the devotees of Krishna, then we are saved. We can rise above, become transcendental to all the situations around us. At this time, teachers got mad and brought him to Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu was hearing one after another what he was doing. And he was hissing like snakes trampled by somebody on his tail. He was very, very angry. Somebody laughed just now, but if you were there at that time, maybe you would, I don't know what you will do. You will be trembling in fear because Hiranyakashipu was not an ordinary personality. He was very, very strong. His eyes became red like coal. He was trembling with anger. It's very difficult to see his face full of anger. And at that time he said, "You have violated my power to rule over you. I have executed my power of ruling over all the demigods. They have become my slaves. All these Dikpalas and Lokpalas are becoming my servant. And they are trembling when I raise my eyebrows. And you are not fearful of me? What is it, that power that you are getting from, by which you are not fearful of me? How can you remain composed when I am angry like this? From where you get your powers?" So he gave a famous answer. He said, "My Lord, the power from where you are getting, everybody else is getting, I am getting, the source is one. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. He is the source of power and strength to everybody. He is giving strength to you also. You may think you are very powerful, but the source of that strength is same Lord who is giving me the strength. So where is your Lord? Show me your Lord. Now I am going to kill you. No one can protect you. Let me see how your Lord protects you." And he removes his sword. And when he comes close to Prahlad, "Now I am going to kill you. Where is your Lord? Let me see how he protects you. Where is he? Show me your Lord. Is he in this pillar?" Just a random pillar. There must be thousands of pillars in the house of Hiranyakashipu. At randomly one pillar he points out. He says, "Is he in this pillar?" Again famous answer he gives. "My dear father, Lord Hiranyakashipu, he is everywhere. Why in this pillar? He is in every atom. He is in between every two atoms also. He is everywhere. He is omnipresent. That is why he is present in the pillar also. Oh, let me see. If he is in this pillar, how he protects you now." And he comes running towards Prahlad, and while doing so, he just bangs his fist on this pillar. Smashes against the pillar and comes running towards Prahlad. And even before he raised his sword to kill Prahlad, some very thunderous sound comes. I will describe that sound to you. Actually speaking, when my daughter acted as Prahlad, Adhikesha Prabhu, she was very small that time, 7-year-old, maybe about 3.5 feet. Adhikesha Prabhu was 6 feet, huge, with about 1 foot crown, and then 4 feet sword in his hand, and the hands were raised, and she was doing like this. He was doing like this to kill Prahlad. At that time, my mother was sitting in the front row, and she started trembling. She told me, "I was so fearful." After drama, she was asking my daughter that, "Didn't you get scared when he was raising the shining sword to you?" She said, "No, because I knew it is drama." But actually, in the case of Prahlad, he was not fearful, because he knew that my Lord is protecting me. He knew that he had taken perfect shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. So such powerful Hiranyakashipu would make the demigods tremble and do menial activities, that Hiranyakashipu could not scare Prahlad at all. And at that time, a fearful sound which appeared to crack the coverings of universe, this Brahmanda, came out of the pillar. First of all, nobody knew from where the sound is coming. It was shocking, astonishing, unbearable, loud, thrilling sound emanating from the pillar. And the sound reached the abodes of demigods. And the demigods and Lord Brahmaji were saying, "Now, time of pralaya has come." Because this kind of sounds are only produced at time of pralaya. And our abodes are going to be destroyed very soon. Everyone got shocked, not knowing from where the sound is coming. Nobody had heard such sound before. And this sound actually created fear in the heart of Hiranyakashipu. For some time. He was very proud actually. So that did not allow him to continue to have the fear, which would have been better for him. But he was wondering from where the sound is coming. This tumultuous sound caused fear in the demon leaders' hearts. The hearts of the leaders of demons. While Hiranyakashipu was wondering about this sound, from where it is coming. At that time, another sound came, which burst the pillar open. And at the very moment, tatkshan, immediately, Lord Narsingha Bhagavan came out of the pillar. Shri Narsingha Bhagavan ki! Narsingha Bhagavan came out in a very ferocious manner, in half man, half lion form. And he was so effulgent that nobody could see at him actually. And then plus he was Ugra. He was in the form of Ugra Narsingha. I'll describe him how actually when he came out, he was looking, because Hiranyakashipu as a strategy of fight, he studied his form. How he was looking to prove the words of Prahlad, that Prahlad said that my Lord is everywhere and he is also in this pillar. To prove that word, instantly he came out of the pillar. Now when we do perform dramas, everybody knows this is the pillar made here, and now within few minutes the pillar is going to be broken, some thermocol is going to flow in the air, and some entity, half man, half lion, with the wig of lion will come out. Everything we know. But when this actually happened, nobody knew what's going to happen. Which means the Lord can do inconceivable things. He is autocrat. He can do anything. The most inconceivable, the most difficult to understand things Lord can perform very, very easily. And that too also tatkshan. That means instantly. So he instantly appeared in that pillar. He was not like the drama actors are already standing behind the pillar with all the things in hand. He instantly appeared in. Moment the fist was struck, immediately he appeared from the pillar. Half man, half lion. And Hiranyakashipu was wondering, oh, what is this form? Half man, half lion, from where it has come? Then he said, oh, this Lord Vishnu has come to fight with me. What is the fear? Who can kill me? I have got benediction from Brahma. I am so powerful. I was supposed to kill Vishnu anyway. He has come in front of me. Let me kill him. But he was studying him. He had a form of half lion, half man. He was alam. He was extraordinary. He was bhayanakam. Very, very fearful. Pratapta chamikara chandalochanam. He was angry. His angry, fierce eyes looked like molten gold. Surasata keshara jumbrita nanam. His shining mane, the ayal, we call it in Marathi, that was expanding his face in all directions and shattering the clouds in the sky. He was karala dantrasram. He has deadly teeth. Karavala chanchalak surata jivam. His razor sharp tongue was waving like dwelling sword from his mouth. Very, very fearful it was looking. Prakriti mukholbanam. His face was dreadful looking due to frowning of his eyebrows. He was very angry, so he was frowning at the eyebrows. They were looking very, very fearful. Stabdva urdva karanam. Whenever some animal is angry, what happens? His ears become straight and motionless. So stabdha, that is motionless, urdva, standing upright. His ears were like that. Girikandar adbhuta vyattasya nasam. His nasika, his the holes in the nose and the gaping mouth were looking like kandara. Girikandara means the caves in the mountain. And what was making it more fearful? Hanubheda bhishanam. He was looking very, very fierce because of again and again opening jaw. He was opening and closing his jaw in such a way. He was looking very, very fearful and thunderous. Divi sprishatmakamam. His body was touching the sky. Sprishat, divi means sky. His body was so loud that his head was touching the sky. He had short neck, broad chest and thin waist. And then his hair of the body was white colored and was scattering all the clouds away from the sky. His arms resembled phalanxes of armies. And he had nails which had fatal weapons, as nails at the end of every arm. Can you imagine? If you have heard attentively, you can imagine what kind of form it was. And effulgence was unbearable. All the demons could not see at the effulgence of the Lord. And plus, he was making sound. He was doing roaring. He roared again to cause fears in the heart of demons. And he had thousands of arms. And including Shankha, Chakra, Pada, Gada, Padma. And sword and maces and javelins and tridents. His hands were full of all weapons to kill all the demons. So, still out of ego and false pride, Hiranyakashipu attacked. He lifted his club and attacked this wonderful form of the Lord. And appeared like what? Like a small insect enters in fire, big fire, effulgent fire. It looked like that. Because although Hiranyakashipu also was very, very big, but the Lord's form was incomparable with the size of Hiranyakashipu. He was so huge and so powerful and so angry looking that he would devour everybody at the moment of time. And all his anger was concentrated toward Hiranyakashipu. And they took a big fight. When Hiranyakashipu entered with his club towards the Lord, in some scriptures it is said that he attacked the Lord with club. And in some scriptures it is said that he attacked with dhal and talwar. We have a picture also in his con that Hiranyakashipu is flying in the sky, the huge form of Narsingadev, with his shield and the sword. But the moment he went close to the Lord, he just disappeared because he could not be seen in the effulgence of the Lord. And they took a big fight. to see the fight, all the demigods and the wives came in the sky and started gathering and hovering around to see this most wonderful fight that took place in the history of creation. And at that time, after a lot of fight, Hiranyakashipu was captured by Lord Narasingadev. Like the Garuda captures snake, very insignificant activity for him. And for some time, Lord captured him, and he was very difficult for him to give up, and then he left him. This is the power of illusion, Prabhupada explains. The power of illusion means you are fallible, you are killable by the Lord, but still Lord makes you, your Lord just enhances your illusion to think that I am inconquerable, the Lord is fearful of me. He started thinking, he left me because he is fearful of me, I am more powerful, now I am going to conquer him. And with renewed and more expanded illusion, again he attacked the Lord. All of us are knowing that the Lord killed Hiranyakashipu in the evening, the twilight dusk time, but actually appeared much before that. And the fight took place for a long time. And like a cat plays with the mouse, sometimes hits the mouse and leaves him alone, again plays with it, again puts some more stabbing wounds, and again let the rat go away, again the cat attacks again, and finally the cat catches the rat and then she eats it. Like that, Hiranyakashipu was being tossed and played by the Lord again and again. And in the end, again he captured him. And at that time it is explained, it was very difficult for Hiranyakashipu to accept the situation of being captured by Narasingadev. His false pride was greatly pained that I, the Hiranyakashipu, the Lord of all the universes, who have conquered everybody, who conquered all the demigods, I am being captured by this wonderful entity. And he started flopping his hands and flapping his legs and started trying to make his best efforts to be released from the clutch of Hiranyakashipu's wonderful divine hands. But this time, he was not going to be released. Immediately, Lord used his two arms to hold one for his head and hold one for his thighs. He took him down and pressed him against his thighs. He moved towards the dehlis. What is it called? Kya bolte hain usko? The border of the inside and outside of the house. In the assembly hall of Hiranyakashipu, he went to the edge of the entrance of the Hiranyakashipu's house, the assembly hall. And he did not sit on that. He just put his one foot on the top of his other foot and placed him on that. By that way, he was not on the ground, not in the sky, and not in the water. Then he was not in the house, not outside the house. He was on the border of the house, inside and outside. Then by two hands he held Hiranyakashipu to be fit, like a surgeon keeps the operating part in a fixed position. And with these two arms, without using any of the weapon of the thousands of arms that he had, he used his nails, which are razor sharp, shining, effulgent, and he ripped Hiranyakashipu's abdomen apart. Narasingha Bhagavan ki! This scene was so powerful that the demonic people who were there, they were fearful, they were trembling. And all the demigods were enjoying and they were becoming blissful. This is what happens. Whenever a wonderful transcendental activity takes place, it creates fear in the heart of non-devotees. It increases their envy, hatred and demoniac nature. And at the same time, the same incident encourages the devotees, increases bliss in their heart, makes them joyful and blissful and also enlivened by the Lord's activities. Similarly, when Duryodhana saw the Vishwarupa, Virat Rupa Darshan, Bhishmadev, Drona, and the Pandavas became enlivened. They became blissful. And Duryodhana, Shakuni, and all those demonic personalities, they became more inimical. They became more ghastly by looking at that. Shishupal, the same thing. The Lord's form which was attracting to all the devotees and pleasing to all the devotees' eyes. It was creating so much of envy and poison of envy was coming from his heart. The moment he saw the Lord, right from his birth, he was vomiting poison of envy. So similarly, the two arms ripped about the abdomen, two arms held the body of Hiranyakashipu, and two arms were garlanding himself with the intestines of the Lord. And then the Lord ripped the heart apart from the position, just plucked it off and threw it away carelessly, and Hiranyakashipu was dead. The so-called most mighty, most powerful demon was vanquished in a second, and then very carelessly, like a dirt piece, the Lord pushed him away. And we went again attacking all the demons, because the demons were also getting very ferocious. That our leader, our king is being killed by this wonderful personality, most bewildering personality. Let us attack. So with his thousands of arms, only with the nails, He rips apart everybody, all the demons, on the spot, in instant seconds. And then it is explained that the form of the Lord, which actually was ripping apart Hiranyakashipu's abdomen, was the most ferocious. It is called as Jwala Narsingha. Ugra Narsingha is also ferocious, angry form of the Lord. But Jwala Narsingha was the anger at the peak. Because when Lord was fighting with him, his anger was building up, getting more and more and more angry. And he ripped apart and he killed, he was most angry. And even after killing Hiranyakashipu and all the demons, he was like hissing and making sounds and he was roaring. He was emanating anger and fear in the hearts of everybody. And this time even the demigods, they were also not ready to go close to him. The Lord, after killing Hiranyakashipu, what happened? Hiranyakashipu was killed and the demons were killed. The Lord was still angry. And the effects of anger were seen in the universes. What was happening? The clouds were getting shattered by the hairs of his body, on the head. Not the mane or the hair of the body, white hair. The hair of his scalp was shattering the clouds away. The earth was trembling and was getting imbalanced. And whenever he thumped on the ground, at that time mountains came up in other places, just to balance the earth. Illuminations of sun and moon were stolen by the effulgence of the Lord. They appeared to be most lusterless when the Lord was appearing effulgent. The oceans and seas were agitated by the Lord's activity of anger. And the elephants were crying for life and getting fleed away, running away out of fear of death. Then, in that condition, everybody was feeling very great fear. How to pacify the Lord now? The Lord is so angry now. How do I pacify Him? So Lord Brahma came first. He offered prayers. Now that Hiranyakashipu is killed, my Lord, please be merciful. Please get pacified. He didn't get pacified. Lord Shiva came and said that this kind of sounds and activities can be made only at the time of Pralaya, when Tandavanritya, like myself. Then Indra came. Then Rishis came. Then Charanas came. Then Vidyadharas came. Sadhus, the Siddhas came. All kinds of Vaitalika, everybody, all kinds of entities in the higher planet, they all came and offered their different kind of prayers. Prajapatis came. You don't have time to describe their prayers. Very wonderful prayers. Even Manus came. But Lord was still angry. And still hissing like a snake because of anger. Then they told Lakshmi Devi, you are his dear wife. He always embracing you. Looking at your lotus mouth always. You please go ahead. He said, no. I know he is my dear husband. He loves me. I love him very much. But this form I don't know. I have not seen him in this form. This personality I don't recognize. So she also refused to go. Imagine Lakshmi Devi, who is always serving the lotus feet of the Lord. She also could not dare to go. Then they thought nobody else but Prahlad can go now. So Lord Brahmaji requested Prahlad, you please go. And Prahlad went forward. He was feeling very embarrassed actually. This is the greatest quality of Prahlad. When he went to the Lord, he first offered his Dandavat Pranam to the Lord. And Lord felt so nice looking at Prahlad offering prostrated obeisances. First he said that I am born in the family of Asuras. What qualification do I have? What? My tongue has no education, no culture. It has not been bedecked with the jewels of wonderful shlokas and hymns of Vedas. I am not qualified to do so. If Lord Brahma, the source of all the Vedas, if Shiva and if Indra and all the Prajapatis and the Manus and Vidyadharas and the Gandharvas have not been able to pacify you, what is the hope of mine? But still, I will like to attempt to glorify you. And he says, my Lord, I am most fallen. I am born of semen of Hiranyakashipu. I have no cultivation. I have no mannerisms. I have no knowledge. But I know one thing, no material things can attract my heart. You are the Lord who is not attracted or impressed or influenced by money, power or education or beauty or good lineage of family. All these things do not attract you. So my heart is attracted to you like a magnet. He tells this to Chandan Amarka also. I can't help it. I am like a metal who is constantly forcibly attracted to your lotus feet. And then he says in his prayers that I know I have no attraction to all these things, but I am worried about all the people in the world who are attracted to material glamour and material desires. I want them to have your mercy, my Lord. This is the merciful, compassionate heart of a Vaishnava. He was thinking of all the fallen conditioned souls, including the demons, including all the other living entities who are forgetful of the Lord. And he was asking, "My Lord, please bestow your mercy upon them." He was expressing his concern about them. And he said, "My Lord, I beg you that please let there be no material desire in my heart." This again shows his humility. Because right from the birth, he had no material desire in his heart. He was not interested in playful activities. He was not interested in any activities what his cousins and his brothers did in the Gurukula. He was always absorbed in understanding more and more in-depth understandings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth. So he had no material desire. But still, out of his humility, he begged. In future, it may happen that I will get some material desire. So please, Lord, assure me. And because, I forgot to tell you one thing, when he actually offered his dandavat, he went to the lap of the Lord. And in some of the Puranas, they explained that the Lord, like a lion, would lick his cub. It's called cub, lion's child. Like that, the Lord licked all the body of Prahlad out of great love and affection. And he put his head on the hand on the head of the Prahlad. And just by the touch of Lord Narsingha's hand on the head of Prahlad, he became ecstatic. He became completely cleansed of all whatever traces of contamination that he had. He became a pure devotee instantly, and he became ecstatic and started showing the signs of ecstasy on his body. That is the power of the Lord's transcendental touch. And the Lord said, "No, you have to ask something. I want to give you some boon. So if you have to give something to me, my Lord, then please deliver my father. He has been a demon. He has been offending all the sadhus and rishis. He has been destroying all the hermitages. He has killed the cows and goshalas and everything nonsense he has done. He has harmed demigods who are devotees of your good self, my Lord. So please forgive him." The Lord says, "Why you have to ask this benediction? By dint of your becoming devotee to me, by dint of your devotional service and bhakti and love and affection for me, not only your father's generation, but 21 generations have been delivered of all their sinful activities. They have been liberated and they have been purified." That means, Prabhupada explains in the purport that it is so wonderful to become a pure devotee of the Lord. We are attracted by so many karmic processes, karma kanda. We are attracted to jnana and getting liberated. We are attracted to yogic process, ashtanga yoga. And we want to do so many things which are so-called transcendental and divya and little above human activities. We are attracted by these siddhis. But if somebody becomes a devotee of the Lord, then all this karma kanda, jnana kanda, yoga kanda, nothing is required. Simply by the power of bhakti, not only our generation, that means if it is one person, and his mother, father, his generation, his uncles and his cousins, all that branch of generation, 10 generations above, 10 generations below, everybody is purified. Actually, that means millions of people are purified by just one person becoming a pure devotee of the Lord. We may say that we are not pure devotees, but Prabhupada has given us a process by which we can perform pure devotional service while not being a pure devotee. And this pure devotional service explained by Rupa Goswami is so powerful that it will lead us to becoming a pure devotee very soon. So we have the opportunity in our conditioned state of life also to perform the process of Navada Bhakti explained by Prahlad Maharaj in the guidance of pure devotees, taking shelter of pure devotees, and make our life successful even when we are not pure devotees, which will lead us surely to become pure devotees. This is the power of bhakti. One question comes, why Lord had to perform so many things? Breaking the pillar, making tumultuous sound, making roaring, and accepting the beautiful form of half man, half lion, and killing all the demons, ripping the heart of Hiranyakashipu. Because the Lord is very, very kind upon all the living entities. He could have taken a micro form of Chaturbhuja Paramatma in the heart of Hiranyakashipu, manifested there. And with his mini chakra, he could have performed a micro surgery by cutting all the arteries of Hiranyakashipu. And he could have instantly died. Nobody would have seen anything. Nobody got fearful. Or he could have given a heart attack to Hiranyakashipu by pinching one of his arteries, left coronary artery, in the heart of itself. But why is he doing all these things? Why all this leela of ripping apart and garlanding my intestines and throwing the heart away and killing all the demons and taking the fearful transcendental form just for us, to get a subject for all of us for remembrance? After that, the Lord is requested by Hiranya Prahlad, "Show me your Varaha form in which you killed my uncle. So Lord appeared in the most ferocious form to him. More ferocious than Narasingha Dev also. In the form of Varaha Narasingha. Which had features of Varaha, lion and boar and human being. All three things together. And that form is supposed to be so fearful, so angry that even today that form which was shown to Prahlad is under 40 kilos of Chandan on the day of Akshaya Tritiya when Chandan is removed. On the first day only when Chandan is removed once in a year on the day of Akshaya Tritiya, 40 kilos of Chandan immediately is put on that. And then regularly the Chandan is put and finally it becomes more than 150 kilos. And what you see there in Darshan is only a log of Chandan. The Lord is so angry that all time Chandan and water is to be offered to him. So Shaligram Shila manifested in the form of Varaha Narasingha. So all these Leelas, like Lord lifted Govardhan, nobody knew that he is going to lift Govardhan. We all know when you see drama now. Now the pulley will be pulled up and the mountain will go and the finger will go along with the mountain and the... All this we know because we have read Krishna Leela, heard Krishna Leela so many times. But at that time nobody knew that he is going to lift the huge mountain of Govardhan. The Lord is so powerful that he can do anything. Today we have heard so many of his pastimes up till now, lifting Govardhan and entering the mouth of Agasura and so many things, swallowing fire. That way he can do anything at any moment of our life. We should have faith. The most insurmountable, most informidable activities and prasangas, that is events that took place in life sometimes, become very fearful. But we should have faith that the Lord wants, Lord can completely reverse the action of all the painful situations in life. Only if he wants. We should not demand that. That if I have got cancer, Lord should reverse the activity and make me healthy immediately. No, we should not pray like that materially to the Lord. We should only pray that in all the conditions of life, my Lord, please give me your remembrance. Prahlad was begging for that. Let me remember you constantly. And that was the only weapon that he had. His remembrance was so powerful that he actually did not affect anything to him. Nothing actually affected him. All those so-called ghastly atrocities were done towards him. Nothing affected him. He was totally in bliss of remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the purpose of Lila. I was just meditating how Prahlad Maharaj personifies so many shlokas of Shikshashtakam. First shloka is Cheto Darpana Marjanam. He was constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord. In the recess, while he was being tortured, without being tortured, in the Gurukula, all the time he was absorbed in chanting the holy name of the Lord, inducing others as a first class devotee to chant the holy name of the Lord. As the definition of the first class devotee, he makes others inspired to chant the holy name. He was doing that. Then, the third shloka, the emblem was Prahlad actually. He was so humble. Because of his humility, so many wonderful prayers came from his tongue. Much more superior to all the prayers of demigods. That even today, rishis and saints and Vaishnavas study and meditate on those prayers. Such wonderful prayers came only out of the platform of humility from the tongue of Prahlad Maharaj. He was so tolerant that he could bear all the atrocities by the power of Krishna consciousness. And respectfulness, he was so respectful. Even though his father was so ghastly to him, he never lost respect to his father. He was about to kill him, still he was addressing him, my dear father, my dear king of demons. Tuhitu Shanda and Amarka, they were teaching him wrong sciences. He was so respectful towards them. You should learn this. Because he was seeing the presence of the Lord in the heart of all those so-called ghastly living entities. And that is why he was, from heart he was offering them obeisances. Seeing the Lord in their heart. Then, Kirtaniya Sadahari, same thing. Because of these three qualities, he was able to chant the holy name constantly. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadish kamaye. He had no material desires. He said, my Lord, I only want your bhakti again and again. I want to perform such activities in my life that I will never forget you. And I have no desires for any opulences, but I have a fear in my mind. Because of being born in demoniac race, I have a tendency to go for material things. Please protect me. Please do not give me these things. Don't tempt me with your benedictions of material activities, material things in life. So the emblem of fourth verse also. And finally, the last verse. Ashlishva padaratam pinashtumam. Adarshanam marmahatam karotuva. Yatha tathava vidadhatu va lampato. Mat prana nathastu saeva naparaha. Prahlad Maharaj was saying, my Lord, you can cut me with tridents, You can throw me under elephants. You can throw me in the pit of snakes. You can poison me. You can starve me. You can do anything that you want. But I will remain your devotee constantly. I will never complain. Marmahatam karubha. You can break my heart. The Lord actually did everything to him. Why? Just to show us the glory of a devotee. To show us the glory of a devotee like Prahlad. He did all this thing to him. And he was actually begging pardon from Prahlad. Okay, I am very sorry. I am very grateful to you because you performed so many, you underwent so many difficulties for myself. If it was not me, you could have just said yes to your father. Yes, my father, you are wonderful. I am your son. I will inherit your kingdom. I will become the best of asuras. I will do whatever you want to me. Only that word yes was required and he could have inherited all the power and wealth and kingdom of Hiranyakashipu. All the material enjoyments were ready for him. But he just kicked all those things away. He was not attracted by any of so-called powers and influences of Hiranyakashipu. For the sake of the Lord and for his devotion, he tolerated all the inconveniences. The Lord was very, very grateful to him. And out of gratefulness, the Lord instantly appeared in the pillar for him. So we should understand that we may forget so many good things happen to us. We may forget that we are seeing every day. We may forget that we are able to move our hands every day, to put prasad in our mouth every day. We are able to breathe every day. But we are not grateful. But the Lord is very grateful. If one devotee chants his holy name once in lifetime, maybe in million, many, many lifetimes back also, the Lord will never forget. And he will accompany you again and again as Paramatma in many lifetimes, many bodies, while we are wandering towards sense gratification in many bodies. But he remembers that his soul has chanted my name once. I must reward him with my mercy. I must favor him with my mercy by the company of devotees. So he sends pure devotee. He sends teachings of his own Vedas to us of devotional service. So out of that gratefulness, the Lord appeared in the pillar for delivering his great devotee and dear devotee Prahlad Maharaj. So we should also understand that Narsingadev is the emblem of gratefulness also. And he is the instant rescuer. That we should understand. The same Lord came when Gajendra called him. Okay, Hare Krishna. So I will just briefly mention to you. There were pastimes of Hiranyaka Narsingh Bhagwan has taken place in our ISKCON movement also. I will tell you briefly. One time one child of a devotee was playing in his farm. And it was, child came on the highway and the truck came and lifted the child and swung the child in the air. And the child fell down on the other end of the road, absolutely unharmed. So parents asked, the devotee parents, what happened to you? Sir, I was lifted by Narsingha Bhagwan. And there were nail marks on the abdomen of the child. There were devotee Sankirtan party going, doing Sankirtan and distributing books. At that time, some ghastly looking black men, Negroes came with chains and with hockey sticks and with sticks to beat them. And they were about to attack them and they destroy them. It was very clear that they were coming towards them in angry mood. But they were crossing the road. And suddenly devotees dropped everything and started chanting Narsingha prayers. And when Narsingha prayers were chanted, from somewhere, from nowhere, a truck came and crushed all those people who were about to attack the devotees. Many, many more pastimes are there. The form of Narsingadev in Mayapur had red eyes. One time, one devotee felt, I'll remove the red eyes and put mild eyes. And mild eyes were put. And the next day, a lady went for darshan. And she heard the voice, give me my eyes back. And she was like trembling, you know. Again she heard. And she ran to Pankajangri Prabhu's room and asked, Keith, I'm hearing this sound. She said, yes, maybe we made a mistake. We removed this red, ferocious, angry looking eyes from Prahlad Narsingadev. And we put mild eyes. He doesn't want it. So then next time when Muralidhar Prabhu made the actual teeth of a lion for Narsingadev of Mayapur, he was also having the feeling that maybe he will accept or he will reject. But till today, Lord Narsingadev is wearing the beautiful teeth made by Muralidhar Prabhu in his own lotus mouth and accepting the service of the Lord. One more thing also we should know that many people worship Lord Ganesh as the remover of all the obstacles in the path of progress of the three worlds. But from where does he get these powers? He is holding the two lotus feet of Hiranyakashipu on his tusks all the time. He is holding the lotus feet, two lotus feet of Lord Narasimhadev on his tusks, on his tumuli. And because of that, he gets the power of removing obstacles in the progress of the three worlds. Because originally, Lord Narasimhadev is the obstacle remover. And we should pray to Lord Narasimhadev that, oh my Lord, please take away those obstacles in my life which are going to harm my consciousness, which are going to harm my devotion to a lotus feet. Please protect my consciousness. And whenever we get fearful, we should instantly chant Narasimha Mantra. Let us chant Narasimha Mantra. Ugram Viram Mahavishnu, Jvalantam Sarvatomukham, Narasingham Bhishanam Bhadram, Mrityor Mrityom Namamyaham. Which means, I bow down to Lord Narasimhadev, who is ferocious, who is heroic like Lord Mahavishnu. He is angry, he is burning from all the sides. He is death to death personified. Still he is all auspicious. He is looking so fearful. For the devotee, he is most auspicious because he knows this fearful form is not for me. It is for killing the demons and the unwanted elements. Thank you very much. The time is getting up. Thank you very much. Narasimha Bhagavan ki, Bhaktaraj Prahlad Maharaj ki, Narasimha Dev Maha Mahotsav ki, Thai Go Premanande.